Our scripture today is from the second chapter of Luke, very familiar scripture to you. Introducing the birth of Christ. This is from the New American Standard Bible version. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. That is, at that time it was the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." May the Lord add his blessing to our reading and of our hearing of his word. Amen. That last verse, we're kind of familiar with it saying, on earth peace among men of goodwill. I think those are the ones with whom God is pleased. We have so much to celebrate. Today, Sunday, you have to agree, that's really good news for us right here. It's Sunday, and here we are. And then it's an Advent Sunday, and we're here to anticipate, to get ourselves ready, and to proclaim peace to our troubled world as we are gathered to worship this second of four Advent Sundays to prepare for the even greater annual yearly celebration of the coming birth of the Lord Jesus. And friends, we can surely celebrate that we are in here, in the beauty and fellowship, in the beauty of fellowship and friends of our church family, and in a special awareness of the presence of God, who loves and cares for us far more than we will ever know on this side, outside for now of our future home in heaven and eternity, where we will finally get to know the full scope and expanse of God's eternal love. So let me ask you, does all of that good, great news make you feel good right now? It should. I hope it really does. Because, and I'm reluctant to say it, but I must. A sad truth when you get to feeling real good is realization. We live in a day in which there is way too much bad news. Amen. With the internet and 24-hour news channels and almost inescapable pronouncements of, "You need to know this," we are made aware of every crisis around the world on a minute-by-minute basis. For instance, do you know what happened just 3 days ago at a naval training base in Pensacola, Florida? I suspect you do. news travels. The shooting and killing of three and wounding of eight others by a Middle Eastern foreign sailor. I'll get this out. Sailor, who had arrived here in Florida for training only 3 days before he went on this shooting, murderous rampage. And do you know where recent out-of-control wildfires are burning up thousands of acres and destroying hundreds of homes? Now, I suspect you do. It's the scourge of California right now, on the news everywhere for several weeks now. Wars, crime, economic disasters, political corruption, personal scandals, natural disasters, all contribute to the avalanche of bad news with which we are assaulted every day. But stop. Stop for a minute. The appeal of Christmas, the appeal of that Christmas that's on its way that we are observing these days of Advent, is that it is the message of good news about God. That's what Christmas is. Christmas reveals to us the God who is above and behind the world in which we live. Don't miss that. It's the good news for today. Christmas reveals that God is for the whole world. Don't miss our rich blessing. It is special good news today. Christmas reveals God in our world in the person of Jesus Christ. Don't miss him. He is the gospel. He is the good news for today. You see, if we miss the good news of Christmas, we have missed the main point, because verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news." The good news of Christmas is that our God is the living God. God exists. Hebrews 11:9 says, Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Amen. God works. He has a good and orderly procedure in which he is at work. He's working always in our world and in the hearts of those who love and trust him. Romans 8:28 says, God works for good in all things for those who love and trust him. God is personal. Jesus revealed this to us very dramatically. John 1:18, no one has ever seen the Father but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father who made him known. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The disciples of our Lord Jesus caught sight of, they looked right at his deity, even as he walked with them in the time that he spent with us, dwelling daily in the realm of humanity, in his glorious transfiguration experience. The deity of Jesus Christ shone through his veil of humanity. The whole incident of that's found in Matthew, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 8, but here verses 2 and 5. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. A bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus came to live among us to reveal that God is so much more than what many ignorantly try to make him, just an impersonal power behind the universe. He is a personal God who relates to us in the same way as a loving father connects with his needy children. If you want to see and know God, then look into the face of the Christ, that Jesus, who came as a baby on that first Christmas morning, grew up and walked among us, called his disciples to follow him and to live daily with him. And then one of his disciples, Philip, asked Jesus to show them God the Father. John 14:9, Jesus replied, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for so long a time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Amen. The good news of Christmas is that our God is the loving God. So this is what Christmas gives us. From the time as little children, were first introduced to God in our earliest church experiences, we learned this special Bible truth about God. 1 John 4:8, God is love. Amen. God's love for people is what we call unmerited and or unconditional. That is, we have done nothing to deserve God's love that he gives to all of us so freely. God loves us because he is love. God loves us in the past. God is loving us right now in the present. God will always love us out into our future of eternity. God's love is inclusive. His love for us is not determined by our attractiveness or by our performance. Go back again into your childhood. I'm sure you sang the children's chorus that sings, "Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight." No person is so high or so low or so young or so old that he or she is not personally loved as a recipient of God's love. God's love is liberating. He sets us free from passions and emotions that could and would destroy us. God's love is personal. Recall this for a moment. "For God so loved the world," that is every person of it, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever," that means, you know, any person, "believes in him should not perish, but they themselves will have everlasting life." Of course, that's John 3:16, with an emphasis there on how personal the promise is. For this great verse, which has been called the Little Bible, to be really meaningful, we need to put ourselves in person, right in the middle of it. So, are you willing to do that? Let's do that right now. I'll tell you what. Instead of reading "God so loved the world," let me suggest for a moment that you read it, that you say it this way. And just listen for a minute, and then I'm going to ask you to follow me. "God so loved," and then you put your name in there, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever," and you put your name in there again, "believes in him, your name should not perish, but have everlasting life." So I want you to do that. I want you to see how it feels. So we'll go ahead right now. We're going to do it together. And I will prompt you, okay? "God so loved," and you can put your name in there. "God so loved Corinne. God so loved Effie. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," Ellen, "Shirley, whosoever, believes in him," your name, Sue, Carol, "should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's how to do it. Personalize God's great love for you as Christmas comes. Christ's coming to earth, living, and dying, and rising from the dead, and ascending to heaven, and interceding for us, assures us that God loves each of us, every one of us. And the good news of Christmas is that God has provided for us a leader. Christ came, born in Bethlehem, not only to be Savior from sin, our Savior from sin, but also for every day of our lives after our conversion to be the Lord of our lives. For Him to be both Savior and Lord, it is necessary that we take Him, that we let Him be our every day, every night, every week, month, every year leader. Jesus Christ, your Lord, wants to lead you out of all that is destructive and evil and wasteful. Lead you out of those things. He wants to lead you out of that which is non-productive and disappointing. He wants to lead you into all that would be most productive and satisfying in your life. Jesus of Bethlehem, of Nazareth, of Galilee, of Calvary, wants to lead you into the abundant life of peace with God. Lead you into right relationship of peace with others. You know, that last book of the Bible, Revelation, pictures people in the paradise of God. The Christ who came at Christmas wants to lead you into that promised heavenly way of life. He wants to lead you to start it in the here and now, as well as leading you into then and there, the hereafter. And what a blessed future He has for us. But here on earth, there's surely the other side, difficulties of being human. Jesus Christ wants to lead you through it, through any uncertainty of the present or any of the complexities of the future. God gave us the words of the ancient psalmist who was greatly comforted by the assurance that the Good Shepherd would lead him even through the darkest valleys, even the valley of the shadow of death, and evil would not overwhelm or scare him. Psalm 23, that's the fourth verse. The message of Christmas is the assurance that in your everyday world, Christ wants to lead you through any of your dark and dangerous valleys. And for the positives of life, Jesus Christ wants to lead you to the highest and best possible womanhood or manhood. He wants to lead you up to the highest quality of life in your home, in your work, in your personal achievements. Between now and the end, our Lord, your Lord, wants to lead you upward to that which is highest and best for you and for all those around you. Jesus, God's Son, is a capable, compassionate, and consistent leader. You can always trust Him to lead you in all ways that are the right ways. Now, I ask, have you heard the good news of Christmas? With absolute reality, for every Christian, everyone who is worshiping and loving the born long ago in Bethlehem Jesus, looking forward to the blessing of Christmas, is the good news. And my prayer for you, and I believe your prayer for each other, is a prayer of hope and of peace and of joy and of love for all of this special time of Advent 2019. And in the words of Tiny Tim of A Christmas Carol, God bless us, everyone. Amen.